Welcome to the Wampa's Lair Podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl Eclair and Jason Hunt, discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out here in the Wampa's Lair. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair Podcast. This is episode number 201, Rogue One, Save the Dream. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the Galen Erso to my director, Krennic, we have Carl Eclair.
Yes, I get to be La Chifra. I'm a huge... Casino Royale is one of my favorite all-time movies, and I love Mads Mikkelsen in that as La Chifra. And I'm already in love with his character from the tiny bit we saw, and him standing there in the rain in his Under Armour shirt. Yeah. comment on that later, but oh my god, the logo on his shirt, it just looks like the Under Armour logo. I was like, yes, he's wearing Under Armour.
It's Under Armour in Arabish.
Yeah, probably is.
And I have to have the capes.
He's... Oh man, Director Krennic, I'm so excited about his character, what he's going to bring to the table. And Jason, I have so much to say, and I know you do too.
Yes.
And we were talking, you know, before we even hit the record button about how fortuitous it is that Disney and Lucasfilm always seem to be looking out for us here at the Wampa's Lair.
Yeah.
Whenever we have an episode scheduled, we have the force blessed moments. Yes. Of these new trailers hitting like that very morning. So
exactly,
we were going to talk Phantom Menace Act 2 today, but we quickly pushed that to the side for this incredible final Rogue One trailer.
Yes.
And we might even be worth mentioning the new poster too that they dropped yesterday.
Right.
All this just amazing stuff. Gareth Edwards just shows up on the Star Wars show and says, "Hey, by the way, here's this new poster, and tomorrow morning, blah blah boom."
Right.
I'm a huge Gareth Edwards fan, by the way.
I like him.
I really like... He's just, again, it's a Star Wars fan directing a Star Wars movie. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we have a lot to say, which we are going to obviously heavily jump into for the majority of this episode. But before we do, we did have a really, really awesome matchup from our last episode, episode 200. Mm-hmm. And so many people responded to this. We had, did you think you said 24 responses from...
Yes.
Our Larians.
Including some first-time responsers. So,
hey, that's awesome.
I think, yeah.
Well, we did get quite a few new likes last week in our push for for getting out the Joe Hogan art early.
Yes.
Which was really nice of people. But for the sake of time and our...
extreme excitement.
Thank you for getting to this Rogue One trailer. Jason's just gonna do the quick pleasure of reading your name and who you voted for.
So. Right. Thank you for your well thought out comments and your humorous comments. But we want to get to this trailer discussion, so I'm just gonna run through this ASAP.
Yes.
No, that's not the new droid.
And real quick, in case you were wondering what the matchup was, I forgot to mention. It was...
Oh, yeah.
It was a dogfight between Anakin Skywalker and his Jedi Starfighter against Luke and his T-65 X-Wing.
Yes. So, on Facebook, Brian V. Klein voted for Anakin. Manga Dolo, also Anakin. Thomas Davis, Luke. Ian Statsny, Luke Skywalker. Joey Letson, Anakin. Cody Murphy, Anakin. Philip Liebold, Anakin. David Furr, Anakin on experience. Luke on luck, so I gave one vote to each. Dave Laidlaw says Anakin. Ubaidullah Abdul Malik, Anakin. Eliezer Rodriguez, also Anakin. Jeffrey Beaumont, Anakin. Patrick Kotef, Anakin. Akan Denur, Luke. Christopher Brown, Luke Skywalker. Kyle Taylor, Luke. Jeffrey Fishbach, Anakin. Gear Stormrider Paulson, also Anakin. And Jesse Collins, Anakin. On Twitter, @LowryNeal says he gives Anakin the win. Moncala at Moncala Hottie goes with Anakin. At Kenny Crayley Jr. Voted for Luke Skywalker and tagged at Hamill himself in the comment too. So thank you, Kenny, for making sure that Luke Skywalker himself saw that. And then Patrick, who sent in this matchup, sent in an email and gave it to Anakin on experience. So that gives us a final Larian tally of 18 for Anakin and 6 for Luke. What say you, Carl?
I mean, I'll keep it short and sweet. I say Anakin as well. Based on everything the Larian said, I mean, experience, skill, natural force ability. He's the chosen one. He's been a pilot his whole life. Hands down, Anakin. What about you?
Well, we kind of saw this dogfight in A New Hope, so kind of, sort of. I think I'm going to give it to Luke, just because Luke was able to avoid Vader long enough to blow up the Death Star with the help of Han Solo. And he's, you know, that's his very early starfighter piloting days. So Luke by a hair. So
okay. Well, I think that was a pretty one-sided matchup, though.
It was. It's a final tally of 19 for Anakin and 7 for Luke. So fairly one-sided.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that makes sense, I think.
It does.
But Jason.
Yes, Carl.
There is a new Rogue One trailer that came out today.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but I've been saying all along, you know, like, yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to seeing Rogue One. And every time a trailer comes out, I'm like, yeah, this looks really good. But at the end of the day, I've always been saying, like, well, I'm still much more looking forward to Episode 8. Mm-hmm. After today, I can say I am no longer in that mindset. I can't wait for Rogue One. Episode 8 couldn't be any further from my mind because I want Rogue One.
Shall we play the trailer?
Let's play this trailer. It's so flippin' good.
Jin, whatever I do it to protect you. So you understand?
I understand.
You want to get out of here?
Our rebellion is all that remains to push back the Empire. I think he might be able to help us.
When was the last time you were in contact with your father?
What is this? It appears he is critical to the development of a super weapon.
If my father built this thing, we need to find him.
All right. How many do I need?
They are requesting a call sign.
It's, Rogue. Rogue One.
Power that we are dealing with here is immeasurable.
If the Empire has this kind of power, what chance do we have?
We have hope. Rebellions are built on hope.
Take hold of this moment. The Force is strong.
Make 10 men feel like 100.
We'll take the next chance. And the next. You're all rebels, aren't you?
Save the rebellion! Save the dream!
Man, I have the feels every freaking time I watch that.
Oh, the chills, the chills, the chills.
Do you remember, I'm sure you do, at Celebration Anaheim, you're right, when they premiered the, you know, Force Awakens trailer there, mm-hmm. and we went back to the house we were staying in, and we probably contributed about 1,000 of those views.
Yes.
Ourselves. I think uh-huh. I'm responsible for at least 200 of the views today. I can't stop watching it. And for me, what gave me the feels most of all was the music.
Yeah.
That music is amazing. And I noticed somebody, I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was, but somebody mentioned on our Facebook today, you know, that they hope that that piece of music is from the movie. My guess is it's probably not. You know, typically trailer music is its own, you know, animal. Mm-hmm. That being said, God, would I love it if it was in the movie itself. It's very different from, you know, a John Williams type of score. I mean, there is the Rebel theme is in there. There's derivatives of it. But oh my God, that music in and of itself is just so beautiful.
The music combined with the construction of the trailer, just, it starts off, you know, slow and, you know, sort of suspenseful, and we're building, and then it starts to ramp up, and it ramps up slowly at first, but then by the time we're halfway through the trailer, it just starts hitting breakneck speed, and it doesn't stop till the trailer's over. And whoever creates these Star Wars trailers is a genius, because at constructing these things. So I get chills every time I watch this. And I'm going to say this right now, before we really get into any more discussion about the trailer, if this movie lives up to these trailers, it will be in my top 3 Star Wars films.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you might actually like it as much as the Ewok movies. His battle for Endor.
Oh my gosh. Sure.
You know, I'm in the same camp there, Jason. And I noticed, again, a few folks on Facebook pointed out, I think it was Ian Statsny that said this. You know, he was honest about, you know, well, up to this point, I really wasn't that excited about it. Like, yeah, I'm going to see it. It's a Star Wars movie. That's almost kind of where I was in, you know, like, yeah, I'm excited about it, but, you know, give me the saga films. You know, he said, he's like, you know, this is now, you know, this is all I want to see. And I think he hit on the point of like, there's something new here. And I think that's, you know, and this was a lot of thing that, you know, this was one big thing that folks got, you know, kind of critical of with Force Awakens, is there wasn't a whole lot of new stuff. Like, yeah, there was new characters and new planets that were ripoffs of old planets. You know, and I think, you know, that left some of the more hardcore fans wanting a bit, like, you know, oh, you know, there was nothing that new and innovative in our Star Wars tale. It really, we're really getting a lot new here in Rogue One, it seems like.
Yeah.
Just by the way, I think we'll get a lot of new in 8 and 9. But
yes.
Force Awakens was, while it wasn't a reboot, it was like a callback to the original feel, whereas mm-hmm. now we can go forward. Whereas Rogue One is right from the outset, this is just a new movie.
Right.
It's a new Star Wars entity in and of itself.
It's a new story dealing with familiar events, but from a totally new perspective, with totally new people. And I seriously cannot wait for this movie. And I think we should probably start talking some of the details now, other than just completely gush about the fact that we're so excited for this.
Yeah. Well, if it's all right with you, I think we can just start breaking it down in its chronological order here.
Yes.
And I really want to mention, like, this very, well, I guess it's technically the second shot. You know, that you have that first shot of like a shuttle flying over like an ocean
with the very thin rings, planetary rings overhead, which I think was awesome.
Oh yeah, I didn't even notice that. I thought they were clouds.
Nope. Well, there are clouds, but there's also those planetary rings, which I think is just great.
Oh yeah, wowzer! Did not realize that. I thought it was just a bunch of jet streams. but that very next shot, though, of, I'm assuming this is, what is Erso's first name? Do we know the father's first name?
Galen.
Galen. Okay, so it's, I'm assuming this is Galen. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the most basic Star Wars tech, which is evaporator. Mm-hmm. But this is a very Star Wars shot. You know, this is something I could, this is a shot I could see George Lucas compositing. Go ahead. Felt like you were going to say something there.
No, I'm just agreeing. I'm going to let you finish your thought before I go on.
Yeah. So I love this beginning of the trailer and these death troopers just with Krennic marching on what looks like a small homestead or something. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Jason, the first thing this made me think of was this is a Western. It makes me think of that scene in True Grit, the John Wayne movie, which was also redone a few years ago. But that scene where you got like these, you know, a couple guys like camped out in like a little log cabin and you have these other, you know, bandits kind of marching in on them. It just, that scene right there, to me, it just screams Western, which was always like one of the early ideas of what Star Wars was. You know, that was one of the huge influences for George Lucas in writing these movies. Mm-hmm. Was kind of that Western feel. And I think these opening shots really capture that with Krennic and these awesome looking death troopers just marching towards you. And again, that carries over for me from what we've seen in the previous trailers of like the Empire is something to be scared of. Like in the OT, like we know they're the bad guys. Like there's that black and white world of like, yeah, they're the bad guys, but you're never really scared of them per se. They're really being portrayed as villains, kind of like intimidating villains in a way that we didn't necessarily get in the OT. And I really like that. And I love the look of the Death Troopers, which makes me very happy that I grabbed one on Rogue Friday. I love this opening shot of just them closing in on, again, what looks like kind of like a solitary home.
Yeah. This is definitely the hideaway for Galen and his daughter, Jyn. And obviously, as we find out as we continue to go through this sequence here at the beginning, this is a flashback of Jyn as a little girl when whatever is about to happen goes down with Director Krennic and his death troopers. It is very Western. It's also, you know, the huge planetscapes and stuff. It's a very epic looking feel. You know, we got the huge flat plain that you can see when Galen is, you know, standing next to the evaporator looking out at the shuttle. And, you know, the plane is so flat. Why do they land so far away?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know what? I feel like a walk. It's right. A good day for a walk.
Let's just be intimidating and make him watch us come get him, you know.
I mean, if he's got a big sniper rifle, he's got some easy shots.
Right. Exactly. And then you get the reverse angle of that and, you know, you see that his home is in the on the you know, the foothills of what appears to be a mountain or two.
Is he on Octu?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
Yeah. I don't think he's on Octo. Octu, you know. Achu, bless you. I'm going to call that Achu, bless you every time now, which is horrible because it's the homeworld of the Jedi, the first Jedi temple. anyway. It looks great. And of course the dialogue is Galen telling Jyn, you know, tell me you understand, you know, whatever I have to do, tell me you understand that I did it to protect you. So it seems like he's doing this, whatever it is, against his will in order to protect Jyn.
And I like that, right? There is a strong character element right off the bat with this is also the first time we've really had a father-daughter relationship in a Star Wars movie. It just seems like he's about to do something questionable, right? Like, whatever I'm about to do, understand I'm doing it to protect you, which to me implies like obviously he's going to probably go off with them.
Yes.
You know, like to save his family or whether it's just Jyn herself or whatever, my guess is he's going to make a deal with the devil to protect the ones he loves. Hello, Anakin. You know, hello, every tragic character to a certain degree.
Right.
You know, and again, the kind of the way this, you know, mentioning these opening shots, kind of the solitude that seems to be existing. To me, it's almost as if, again, like he is somebody who's developed some sort of extreme power, which probably had an intended, you know, it was probably intended for something good. But as we all know, like when, you know, Einstein splint the atom, immediately somebody figured out like, hey, let's make a nuclear bomb, you know,
right.
took something amazing and made it into something deadly. And I have a feeling that's maybe what happens with Galen's character is he comes up with this innovation that the Empire knows they can capitalize on. So maybe he kind of goes into hiding, but they found him. So, crap, I've got to work with them to protect the ones I love. So I could see that kind of being his character story and why Jin probably becomes estranged from him. By the way, a quick little general side note on the side. That's what a side note is. I just think I think we're getting a very different view of who Jin Erso is in this trailer too. My perception of her character is dramatically different after watching this trailer.
Yeah. There's a lot more depth to her.
Yeah.
After watching this trailer, which has really bumped my interest in her and my opinion of her up quite a few notches after this trailer. So, rather than what we had gotten before, not that I wasn't interested, because, you know, I liked her spunkiness. You know, this is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel, you know.
Yeah.
It's still one of the best lines that we've gotten from the movie so far.
She seems to have a stronger hero aspect to her in this trailer rather than, I think, in the past from what we got in these other trailers is our, you know, what we were kind of supposing was, oh, she's, you know, she's an estranged child who's distraught with, you know, they have daddy issues, like they're upset and they rebel just to kind of rebel. They don't really have a purpose in it. But from this trailer, I'm almost gathering that, no, she does have like a purpose to her life. But maybe she's been, you know, put through the ringer because of the Empire, not because of herself, if you will.
Right.
But anyway, I do want to mention real quick, because the next thing we get in this trailer is the amazing shot of Galen in his Under Armour. you know, I'm just a huge fan of Mads Mikkelsen. I think he's such a, like, he's just such a good looking dude. For being probably like in his 40s and 50s, like, he's just a handsome dude. I like him. He looks good. I'd be cool with him being my Star Wars dad.
he's got a great beard here early on.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I like him with the beard better than shaved.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I mean, he comes up. Go ahead.
One thing I do want to mention about Galen and director Krennic is, according to the synopsis for the One Catalyst novel that's going to be coming out before this movie, it's a prequel to Rogue One, and it details a situation in which director Krennic saved Galen Erso's life at one point early on in their relationship. So in this point here, it's almost like Galen is indebted to director Krennic and is going with director Krennic, you know, also out of a sense of duty. And I wonder if these flashback scenes are actually in the book.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. I was wondering if, in so far as the movie itself, I wonder if these flashback scenes will be at the beginning of the movie, kind of like in Batman v Superman, when Bruce Wayne has all these flashbacks that like open the movie. I kind of doubt it, but I'm not 100% sure. I think this will probably be the extent of the flashback, is probably, you know, essentially showing why she became estranged from her father and what his relationship is to Krennic in the Empire. I wouldn't be surprised if this happens later on when she's like, maybe like the first time she makes herself vulnerable to Cassian or something, right? Like, cause we can somewhat suspect still that she probably does have a tough exterior. So, when she starts to open up, become vulnerable to probably the family she's building around herself, you know, this could be a story that she tells to them. So that they understand who her father really is, right? Maybe they think he's just an enemy.
Right. That's true.
But in that trailer too, you know, after you see him in his Under Armour, we see a great shot of Krennic, and he looks off to the side, and they do this great pan then to little Jin hiding in what looks like, you know, the field or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he probably told her to get out. And I love that, like, again, like, this is a trailer. We don't know that that's exactly the lineup of the shots in the film, but so smart to, like, you know, she's obviously hiding, but, like, nope, we see you. And then immediately it flashes to the present with her, what looks to be like in a prison cell.
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely a prison cell.
Yeah.
She's sharing the cell with some weird looking alien who's
almost, you know, looks like Watto with like a snout.
Right, right. One of those elephant looking creatures from the cantina, and I'm blanking on the name of the creature, except with multiple little feelers instead of one trunk. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So my question then is and what I'm wondering what you think. Do you think she has spent like her entire life is a Imperial prisoner?
No. Okay. I think she's gotten herself in trouble recently, and I think we're going to start off the movie with her in jail.
Okay.
Because of course the next several shots, you know, the Lucasfilm logo, we get a jailbreak, and the rebels are breaking her out of jail.
Good point. Yeah.
So I think she's done something against the Empire. They've jailed her. That's where we're going to start the movie. And then she gets busted out and then goes to Yavin 4 to have that, you know, conversation with Cassian and Mon Mothma that we've seen in, you know, this trailer and the others. So,
yeah. Well, what's so cool in this jailbreaking scene too is when Cassian breaks in, to me, he's wearing,
is that what, Cassian?
Yeah, definitely. When he says, what does he say? Like, do you want to leave or something like that? What's the line there? Hold on. I'll unmute this for a second.
You
want to
get out of here?
Oh, you want to get out of here.
that doesn't sound like Cassian though to me.
Oh, it sounds like Cassian to me. And it looks just like him to me.
You want to get out of here?
Yeah, that looks just like him to me.
Maybe.
Maybe
it is.
Anyway, but I like the outfits that these rebel soldiers are wearing. It looks very Hoth-like to me.
It does.
Not like they don't look bundled up as much, right? Like, so it's not like wintry, but I just really like that it does, because a lot of the movie, it seems like they're wearing kind of like just random clothes, right? Like they're rebellion. They don't have a strict military, but to some degree, they do. Like, the Alliance does have some level of uniformity. So I like that when they're breaking in, that they do seem to have on these, like, Rebel Alliance uniforms, which look, again, very reminiscent to what we see in the Battle of Hoth.
Right. Right. And one other thing I want to point out is it looks like we're going to have quite a few locations in this movie. Because we have this new planet where Jin and her father are at the beginning. We've got Beta. There's going to be Scarif, Yavin 4, and I think at least one other planet, wherever that is with all the rock spires in the dark. I don't think that's Jedha because it's raining, and I don't think Jedha gets a lot of rain. So I think we're going to have at least five different locations.
Yeah.
Just quite a bit.
Yeah. That will be quite a bit. Well, I think the next thing we're going to, though, is we get a really cool shot of what I'm assuming is Jedha, where they're flying the U-Wing.
Yes.
And I did not notice this at first. I thought this was just like, you know, like a canyon or something. I just thought they were, you know, flying past like some mountains or something. And my friend Greg messaged me this morning. He's like, how about that Jedi statue laying on the ground? I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you know, that first shot with the U-Wing flying by. And I immediately, I was like, okay, I'll watch it again, no problem. immediately, he was like, oh my gosh. And I paused it there, and I was like, yep, that's so freaking cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a Jedi holding a lightsaber.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's similar to, very similar, you know, a little bit more crude, but very similar to what you had standing outside the Jedi temple, like on the steps leading inside back on Coruscant.
That's so cool.
So
again, just playing up again, Rogue One is very much so a military movie, but that the reality of the Force and, you know, that mystical side of Star Wars is going to be in this film, which I think is awesome.
Right. And one other thing I have to say that I've noticed a little bit with some of the other trailers, but also with this one, is the sense of scale that we're getting. You know, we've had now, you know, we're 40-ish seconds into the trailer, and we've already had two shots with a little tiny ship flying across the sky, and then, but the camera is getting so much more. You know, the opening shot had, you know, the rings and the clouds going over the beach. This one is just getting such a huge wide shot of the ruins there on Jeddah and that giant statue. Which, to be perfectly honest, this shot, maybe a little bit more, it's probably all we're going to see of that statue. So it's really cool that they're, you know, giving us that as sort of a look at what Jeddah was before the Empire.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, do you think the Empire's responsible for the fact that it's on the ground?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
You know what? This is a big picture thing I wanted to get into, and I don't care. I'm going to get into it now just so I don't forget. They've done a lot with Star Wars, especially in light of Rebels recently, with expanding kind of the mythos of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously by giving us the Bendu and, you know, bringing back the language of Ashla and Bogan, which, mm-hmm. by the way, I didn't even realize this. I was reading an article the other day, and they mentioned that, you'll probably remember this, I had forgotten, but remember the Rebels episode? I think it's in season one where they find a few, the last of the Lasat.
Season two, yes.
Season two, where they find the last of the Lasat, and they talk about the Ashla.
Yes.
Which obviously is the light side.
Right.
I just didn't remember that. I did not put that together. But I bring that up, plus this, you know, this Jedi relic on Jeddah, and obviously the reality of what Jeddah is. It's, you know, it's a place where it's a pilgrimage site for people that believe in the Force or might even use the Force.
Mm-hmm.
And as, again, if you are a regular listener, you've probably heard me complain a bit about some of what I thought they were screwing up with the mythos and the mythology of the Force. But I'd like to say publicly that I'm wrong, and I really like what they're doing now. And I see the bigger picture, and I like how much they're expanding it. And what I mean by that is I think, in a way, the Force is, this is what's so cool. And, you know, my complaint about Rebels, and even in a small way, maybe what would have been a complaint of mine about Rogue One, is, you know, you're having all these great heroes like Ezra, Kanan, you know, now you're gonna have Jyn and Chirrut, Cassian, you know, why do we need Luke, right? Like, that seems to be like my battle cry of, like, you know, being a pain in the ass. You know, it's like, why do we need Luke? Well, it's very clear to me that Luke isn't the only answer, right? The Force is much bigger. Like, yes, Luke is kind of the central figure who will bring about the balance in the Force. In a sense, he will be the one who ultimately helps crumble the Empire. He is the central piece, but he's not the only piece. And the way I made sense of this for myself, Jason, was I gave it a little bit of theology.
Okay.
And for me, this is, you know, like, if you look at the character Jesus, whether you're a Christian believer or not, even in the context of who Jesus is in Scripture, Jesus is somebody that was built up to, right? Like, all those prophets, they were incredible people, but none of them were the savior figure. You know, even John right. the Baptist, who's right before him, like, you know, no, I'm not the Messiah. Like, there's somebody better coming. I feel like all these things going on in Rebels and Rogue One, the Force is obviously very active using other people and their gifts, but mm-hmm. ultimately it's got to be a Skywalker who's going to fix the overall picture. So I right. actually really like that because it makes the Force more active as opposed to less.
It's the Force, the will of the Force is not as passive as we may have first thought.
Exactly. And I am totally digging that. So all of my little, like, persnickety comments, I think I'm done with them. I'm finally going to be able to enjoy Star Wars for what it is and what it's growing into. And obviously for me, the biggest part of Star Wars that I love is the mythology of the Force. And I love what they've done here. And I don't know if that was, you know, if that's the exact intention of the Star Wars story team, But in essence, what they've done is they've expanded the Force to being extremely active, like you said, Jason, as opposed to passive, in our story. So it is going to work through people like Chirrut and Jin and Cassian, because they need those plans. Luke's not ready to do that.
Right.
And they need people like Ezra and Kanan. Like, the Force is using people and their gifts to bring about kind of the redemption of our story. Which again is kind of all, it's kind of all pushing towards Luke, but he can't do it all. So I really like that. I like what's going on here. So sorry that I had to interject that point, but, it just makes me think of that even, wow, that's just looking at one little freeze frame for all of a second. Oh God, how long is this podcast going to go?
Oh man. Well, I'm really glad to hear you say that. I've been pretty open to, you know, the expansion, because, you know, and I guess I do that not out of, you know, just like, oh, it's Star Wars, it's fine, whatever, but more of faith that it's building to something, and faith that the people who are behind it know what they're doing. So, because if I don't believe that, then that's a really scary proposition, and I'd rather believe that they know what they're doing and that they're building to something specific. And I think you've hit on it, Carl. Yeah. They're expanding the influence and the will of the Force to be something a lot more active. And if for a moment, let's pretend that Darth Plagueis, the novel, is still canon. You could take the fact that Plagueis, doing his experiments with life and death and, you know, that sort of thing with the Force, could really be, you know, something that threw the Force out of balance and caused the Force to create Anakin. You know, in the world that you've described, Carl, with where it looks like they're going and how active the Force is in all of this, that effect from Darth Plagueis' experiments creating the Chosen One as the Force's response to that sort of thing, to bring the Force back into balance, is very plausible, very real, and very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very likely. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I love that I think you finally hit on the nail on the head there with what's been going on. And it's taken a while for us to see it. You know, I think the one thing we've got to learn with Disney and Lucasfilm is that there is a long-term plan with a lot of these stories, whereas George Lucas had his trilogy to tell, you know, each of those trilogies, he had those stories to tell. Disney and Lucasfilm now have a much longer view of the stories that they're telling. And I think that's something we're just going to have to get used to, waiting to find the payoff for some of these story elements that we're seeing all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we're starting to, which is great.
Yes.
So yeah, it just gives me so much more enjoyment and excitement for what the saga is becoming and going to be.
Yes.
So yeah, anyway, I just wanted to mention that to, again, openly admit I was wrong, and I see now what that bigger picture is, and I love now what that bigger picture is. Because if the Force is ultimately what moves the Star Wars galaxy, it would make sense that it's constantly in motion, and it's constantly working to bring about balance in itself. Not in itself, but like bring balance in the galaxy, which is why, you know, again, even in The Force Awakens, I think the Force is now out of balance again. What Luke accomplished in Return of the Jedi lasted for nearly 30, you know, over 30 years. But because life is real, you know, it's something's getting it off kilter again. So the Force is waking up somebody named Rey and bringing Luke back, you know. So again, I think this understanding of how the Force works in Star Wars makes for richer stories moving forward.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the particulars of this trailer.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's move along past the Jedi statue in the sand. which is what started that whole conversation.
Right, exactly. Well, I wanted to make that point at the – I was planning to make it at the end of the episode, but since it was on my mind then, I figured out what the heck.
Might as well.
Yeah. So anyway, they fly past and we do get that one – I think this is the only shot we've seen already before is the shot of, you know, Jin looking out the window of what's potentially the U-Wing.
Yeah.
But I really like the line that I think it's Mon Mothma who's speaking, where she says, our rebellion is all that stands, all that's left standing against the Empire. I think that's the line.
Our rebellion is all that remains to push back the Empire.
Our rebellion is all that remains to push back the Empire. Mm-hmm. I really like that because again, it really tells us the stakes of where we're at now.
Yeah, things are dire.
Yeah, you know, and to me that almost it's somewhat it's kind of the counter to what's going on in Rebels. And what I mean by that is Rebels is the buildup of this organized act of rebellion,
right?
And now we're coming out on the other end of it of like, oh my God, is well put together this is. It's like it's still struggling to hold the Empire at bay and really start, you know, chiseling away at its power and might.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the organization is now fairly complete by this point. And while that's such an accomplishment for these rebels, it's still almost a drop in the bucket against the Empire at this point still. You know, there's not much that they can do directly to stand against the Empire still at this point, which is why A New Hope was such a key turning point for the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
And this is giving us the circumstances for A New Hope.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited about this movie.
Yeah. Well, then we get, again, we've seen the Yavin 4 shots in some of the past trailers, but it's a new angle of it. Mm-hmm. Of Jin, you know, obviously coming into the Misasi temples, and I love that you can see out there and see other than Misasi temples. We're walking by X-Wings, it's just like, oh yeah. you know, and then you have Jin meeting the head of the Rebel Alliance. That's kind of a big deal. You probably don't suspect that the typical person they're bringing in is going to meet Mon Mothma on the first day.
Right.
By the way, I love the way Cassian looks in the shot with his like low slung blaster. Like it's like, oh yeah, that's a Han Solo blaster right there. I just think that looks really cool.
Of course you do.
So this is like we're getting more in this trailer than we've gotten in any of the others insofar as storytelling goes, and exposition. And Jin seems to be somewhat confused of like, you know, like,
what do you want from me?
Right. Cassian's like asking about her father, which we can assume she probably hasn't seen since she was potentially a child.
Right.
And that's what she's confused by. Like, what do you want? Like, what are you looking for?
Yeah. This doesn't make any sense. And it's like, we think he's built something for the Empire, you know, a super weapon type thing. And she's like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I like this whole setup because they've broken her out of prison, but it's not, you know, it's not charity. They need something from her.
Right.
Initially information. Then it looks like from this trailer and, you know, connecting the dots with some of the previous trailers, it looks like she insists on being part of whatever that mission is. To find her father, find the information, rather than being put on the sidelines. So,
yeah, yeah. But I do, yeah. She's learning that her father is, in a way, somewhat a threatening figure to the rebels. Mm-hmm. Which again, maybe this is where she starts to interject, like who her father actually is. But then you get this really cool shot at night in the rain, which I'm assuming this is Scarif. Where Krennic shows up, and Galen seems to be walking out of this facility, right, with stormtroopers at his back. So he doesn't seem to be. It's like they're not. He's not under arrest here. Like it's not that these are his troops per se, but he seems to be very much so working for the Empire.
Yes.
And my guess
whether that's, you know, completely willingly or somewhat against his will is a little ambiguous in this shot, but
yeah.
I interrupted.
No, that's okay. And so, yeah, he's walking out here to meet Krennic. And I almost enjoy this kind of look that they share with each other. Because, again, they know who each other are.
Oh, yeah.
So my guess is Krennic's been sent here to probably check on the progress.
Right.
Which I want to get into this point now, because why not? Where do you think Tarkin fits into all this? Because right when we get to A New Hope, Tarkin seems to be in command of the Death Star, which to me tells me Krennic's probably not going to survive this movie.
Right.
But where's Tarkin now, right? Like, it seems, maybe Krennic, and again, at the end of Revenge of the Sith, we see Tarkin visibly watching the construction. So, again, I think that implied to us that from day one, he was somewhat part of that conversation.
The clue for me is in Krennic's title, director.
Okay.
I feel like he's the director of the project. He's the director of getting this thing up and running. Tarkin is the one ultimately in charge of the Death Star. He's the regional governor, the Grand Moff, who is ultimately responsible for what the Death Star does. But I feel like Krennic, he's the director of the project. He's basically a project manager in getting this thing up and running, getting it operational.
That makes sense. That's really cool. Tarkin will be the one to wield it, but he's not the one to build it.
Right.
Which somewhat makes sense. He's a military figure and a Moff. That's not really his role.
Right.
To be on the techie side.
Right.
So, and I like that Krennic has the white uniform. We see that's the uniform Yularen's wearing in A New Hope.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that has any, I wonder if that's like a science-y field of the Empire. I don't know, but maybe it's, I don't know. But I like that it's the white uniform, because I think those look cool. And again, Jason, kind of the next shot. Again, I'm loving these shots we're getting of the Death Star. The Death Star itself is such, it's such a terrifying character in and of itself.
And yet the Death Star has never looked more beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We had this beautiful shot of essentially the upper atmosphere of probably Scarif. And cause in the very top, you can see the stars of space, but it's, the Death Star rising on the planet. I mean, just that scope again, like you mentioned, is just incredible.
Yeah.
And honestly, to me, Jason, it makes it feel so much more, in a sense, real worldy, if you will. Mm-hmm. Not this world. It doesn't take me out of the Star Wars universe, but it just, again, in A New Hope, I am not necessarily afraid of the Death Star, even though we see it destroy an entire planet. This movie is making me fear the Death Star, which we should.
Yeah. This movie is going, okay, the Death Star is not just this thing hovering in the middle of space. This thing, this is what it looks like. This is what it would have looked like from Alderaan.
Yeah.
This is... We're getting, the Alderaanians' point of view here from some of these shots. Obviously it's not Alderaan, but this is what it would have been like to either live on a planet around which the Death Star was being constructed, or being on a planet that the Death Star was about to destroy. This is the type of view that we're getting here. We're not getting it from the lofty Empire's point of view, from the bridge, the command bridge, saying, you might fire when ready, we're getting it from the little person's point of view. This is not good.
Yeah. That's cool. It's giving us a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We get the every view of it in A New Hope is kind of the Imperial view of this is a tool of our power. But for everybody else, this is an instrument of fear.
Right.
We get to experience that fear that Tarkin talks about and threatens in A New Hope.
Exactly.
So I'm really excited to see how this might change my perception of A New Hope when rewatching A New Hope.
Yeah.
I don't know that it will that much, just because they're going to be two very different feeling movies, right? Again, I think Rogue One is somewhat, it's going to tap in more of that raw, gritty feeling, whereas A New Hope is still kind of a lofty, mystical, mythical story.
Right.
But still, I think it will in some way influence our viewings moving forward of A New Hope.
I agree. And it should.
Yeah. Yeah. So. So yeah, then we get some shots on board again, what I'm assuming will be the U-wing. You know, Jin, you know, is speaking up to Cassian here, saying essentially, if that is indeed what my father's up to, we need to find him.
Yeah.
And I think that's Jin's plea of saying like, no, he's not a bad guy. Like, we need to get to him because he can probably help us and he probably wants to help us.
Right.
So again, I don't know that the rebels are looking at Galen as a villain or as an enemy, but they clearly seem to be suspicious of him, understandably.
Right.
Whereas Jin's saying like, no, like we need to find him, right? We need to rescue him.
There's more to this than meets the eye.
Yeah.
To quote Transformers.
Yeah. And we get our first shots then of the rest of that crew essentially, which is, oh my gosh, I'm so bad with names, character names, but we get obviously Jin, Cassian.
Riz Ahmed is the actor's name.
Okay.
And I forget his character's name. That's the only one that I can't remember his name.
And then is it Blaze that's with?
Baze.
Chirrut?
Baze Malbus and then Chirrut.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, and that's kind of like the scene where they're all saying, like, we're in, right? Like,
right.
We can suspect that these are probably a few individuals who are all very gifted at whatever the heck they might do.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the rebellion has brought them together, and this is going to be our team. And this is them banding together to go. And I love this scene where, like, you know, well, I love K2SO. Oh my God, that droid looks so dope.
I know, I love it. And he's all CG. He's a computer-generated character, but he looks so real.
Yeah.
It's like he's actually there.
Thank you, Jar Jar, for giving us that technology.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
It's a nothing.
Oh, it's a nothing. You used to make me blush.
So then, you know, we get this great...
I love this scene real quick because it's like, well, they're asking for a call sign, and Riz Ahmed's character goes, It's Rogue. Rogue One. He makes it up off, you know, on the spot there, and now we get the title. So
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's all I was going to say there, too, is it's cool that that's going to be those, you know, that team's call sign. They're Rogue One. And my guess is they're probably transmitting that to something in the Rebellion. I doubt that's... Yeah, I guess it could be them slipping into an Imperial facility, but... My guess is that's, you know, I don't know. My guess was like, this is them transmitting their signal, like when they're coming back to Yavin or something potentially.
Yeah. Or they're leaving Yavin. It's like, we need something to call you, you know, or maybe it's towards the end when they have that big battle on Scarif and they've got the rest of the, you know, rebels with them. And they're like, well, you're leading this, but we need a call sign. So
yeah. Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
Right. And then we get Vader, which is awesome. We get to see a little bit more of Vader in this trailer. And this is a great shot. This is the thing I love about The Empire is how clean they are. And they love glossy floors.
Yes.
I love that. I'm all about it. Besides the tyranny and torture, like, I love The Empire. you know, and we get this really cool shot of what looks to be Vader on board the Death Star. I mean, this looks very much like some of the viewing screens we saw in A New Hope.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't see him again directly there, but we see Krennic talking to him. And to me, what's important is the way Krennic is talking to him. Again, when we see Vader in A New Hope, we see the way that, and these are all higher ups that he's dealing with. But the way they talk to him, they don't talk to him as if they're terrified.
No.
Empire and Jedi are very different films. Like, Vader is... Everybody's peeing in their pants when he shows up.
Right.
But, again, even Krennic, like, the way he's talking to him, like, this power, it's immeasurable. Like, I think he's trying to make it very clear to Vader, like, how important this battle station is. And I think that's important because it shows probably how important Krennic is. Very potentially, Krennic is a close advisor of the Emperor. Potentially.
Right.
We do know that, I guess, Ian McDiarmid has confirmed he is not in any way in this film, which sucks. But,
yes.
you know, again, we still have that you know, the, I think it was in the last trailer, the scene with somebody in a hood bowing, and there's, you know, Emperor's Royal Guards in the room. I'm really hoping that might be the Emperor in some way, shape, or form. But to hear Ian McDiarmid confirm he has no involvement kind of makes me worried, because it's like, he's around. He'd do it if they wanted him.
Right, right. And of course, you know, he could be lying.
True, yeah.
He is the Emperor.
Good point. Man. Good point. But yeah, so I don't know kind of what's going on moving forward into this trailer, though. Like, we get, you know, Krennic walking around on the Death Star. They seem to now be orbiting Jedha, which is interesting, because I guess this is my question, is I wonder where the Death Star was being constructed. Is it being constructed at Jedha, or is it being constructed at Scarif? Or, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe it has nothing to do with Scarif. I don't know. Maybe that's just where a bunch of the plans are and the schematics, and that's why they steal them. I mean, it's very clear that the end battle is going to be on Scarif.
Right. I would think that's probably more the case. The Death Star is being completed here above Jedha. And Scarif is where the plans are, because you don't keep the plans and the Death Star in the same spot, you know, with something this big, and especially when you're making a second one.
Right. And you know what's possible too is that maybe it was constructed at Scarif, but they've flown it over to Jedha, which is where they're, because we didn't get it in this trailer, but we, in both the other trailers, we got that awesome shot of the super laser being placed into it. That could be happening at Jedha, because it's clear what, you know, what powers the super weapon is the kyber crystals, which they're mining off of Jedha.
Yeah. It's the rumor anyways.
Right. But I love this upcoming shot then, though, of like these rebel leaders gathered around this, you know, this hollow image of the Death Star. So I'm wondering where in the movie this is, right? Like, they, because those aren't the plans, obviously, but they know what it looks like,
right?
They know about it. Again, it just makes me think of the radio. I love the A New Hope radio drama, and in like one of those first episodes, we see somebody bring the captured plans to Leia, you know, she busts out of there with the Tana IV. But in that very first episode is the first time they hear about the Death Star. So they weren't really aware. Again, like, the radio drama is probably not considered canon anymore, which, oh well. I still love them. you know, it's interesting, like, where in the film is this? And they obviously know about it. And I wouldn't be surprised if it is not too late in the movie, because they obviously know about the Death Star.
So here's my construction of this. They go to Jedha to find Saw Gerrera.
Ah.
And the Death Star shows up while they're there. So they take a quick snapshot of it and say, this is what we're up against. This is that super weapon we've been hearing about. We need to find out how to destroy it. We need to get the plans. Yeah. Or maybe this is... never mind. I was going to say maybe this is before they rescue Jin, but no, she's right there in the front with her back to the camera.
Yeah, I was hoping, by the way, to see Bail Organa in the shot, but I couldn't.
Is that him standing next to Jan Dodonna on the right?
Because
General Dodonna is standing there, you know, almost directly across from Mon Mothma. And then there's the other guy that we've seen several times in the trailer. But on Dodonna's left, there's this guy with black hair and a cape. Could that be Bail?
Oh, yeah. I just noticed that. That could be Bail. I did not notice that. Yeah, that could be him. I mean, we're going to see him. I wouldn't be surprised if he has at least a couple lines. You don't bring Jimmy Smitson just to stand there in the background.
No, you don't.
I mean, he's a big-name actor, you know.
Right.
You got to give him something. So, yeah, I think that could be him. But then you've got this woman. I don't know who the heck she is. But, you know, she's the skeptical realist.
Right.
Like, wow, if they've got power like this, what the heck are we going to do? What do we have? And I love this next shot, though, of the chicken walker just kind of walking down the streets of Jeddah, just blasting away. You know, I love AT-STs. I actually prefer them to AT-ATs. I love the look. Maybe it's because I had the toy and I could never afford the AT-AT, whatever. bitter old days. But yeah, you got this great shot of it just, you know, blowing rebels away. And you hear, again, Jin's response. But before Jin says anything, we get this really cool shot of Saw Gerrera, who, by the way, has no feet. He's Darth Maul. my supposition is that Saw Gerrera is Darth Maul.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. But clearly this is a guy who has been through some crap. Like, he has been battling his whole life. Mm-hmm. But then we have Jin's response, which is hope. You know, we have hope. I love this, right? Because the very next movie is A New Hope.
Right.
And that is to me, at the end of the day, the message of Star Wars is we always have hope. No matter how dire the circumstances, which seems to be the case in this film, we always have hope. And we see Saw. So Saw obviously is going to be a bringer of hope to some degree to these characters in some way, shape, or form. Saw is going to offer something that they need.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love this. This is where the trailer really starts to pick up for me. And she says, you know, rebellions are always built on hope. And then you get this great shot. Again, I know this isn't from the same scene, but you've got this, what looks like, again, a bunch of commandos and what's probably the U-Wing. And you see Chirrut, like, just smiling. Like, I think he's, like, proud of her.
Oh, yeah. He's in total agreement with whatever was just said. Like, this is good.
Yeah.
You know, he's...
And he, like, kind of, like, bangs his staff against the ground and, like...
In agreement.
And all solidarity. The commandos are kind of, like, pumping their fists. Like, Jin Erso very well may have some Poe Dameron in her in so far as pump-up ability.
I wonder if that's the shot right after she says, "May the Force be with us."
Yeah, exactly.
that would definitely get the right response out of Chirrut.
Yeah, exactly. That's Chirrut, isn't it? I always call him Chirrut.
Chirrut. You know, okay. It's a big galaxy. He's got, you know.
Han Han.
Leia.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. So we get
Scarif.
Yeah, which looks awesome.
There's this big structure just standing in the middle of this, you know, beachy marsh. I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah, I mean it's very much like a honeymoon destination planet that the Empire chills on.
Yeah,
you know. So when the Empire is like, this is going to be like a 20-year project. Where do we want to work on this? Let's go to Scarif.
Right. Let's go to Paradise.
Let's go to Paradise because this is going to be a while.
Right.
But I love, you know, the shots of these commandos just kind of, you know, running creeping through the jungle there of Scarif. Like, it's just so cool to me. Like, it's just like the suspense is really building and the trailer's doing that for us.
Yeah.
And then who is it that says they don't know that we're coming? Is it Janet says that line?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they have no idea we're coming. So again, like, they've got the surprise here. And then you get this great shot, which we saw from the sizzle reel. We saw, like, and obviously in the very first teaser, what we thought was Jin in a TIE fighter pilot costume.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out that it's not that.
It's a gunner costume.
Yeah. And Cassian looking dope in his Imperial officer uniform. He looks good in that. It's very fits him well.
It does.
And then obviously K2SO is an Imperial droid to begin with. So he's not out of place.
Nope.
So I love this. Again, I love, like, this is Star Wars right here. It's like they're sneaking in. Like, that's Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
She looks so goofy in that huge helmet, though. Like, her eyes almost look really bugged out to me, too. Like, she looks like a little kid.
She doesn't have the visor down on that helmet.
Yeah. So she just looks kind of silly to me.
Right.
And then we've sort of seen this shot of, like, Chirrut and... is it Baze? Yeah, Baze on, like, this, you know, again, in this kind of canyony planet. I don't know what planet this is. Again, that's you insinuated.
I don't know either. I don't think it's Jeddah because of all the rain.
Yeah, it could be Scarif.
It could be, but this also looks like the place where we saw Krennic landing to talk to Galen.
Right. Which to me, that makes me think that's Scarif. But okay. I don't know. Well, I mean, again, we're going to find out.
I don't know either. I don't think it's Scarif, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. But these ships flying by, I'm assuming they're rebel ships.
They look like X-Wings to me.
Yeah, they look like X-Wings, which again, we saw a shot kind of like that in a previous trailer. Just from a different angle. Ever since Force Awakens, X-Wings apparently have headlights.
Yes.
That was something we'd never had before. Then again, we'd never seen them flying around in atmosphere, you know? So,
well, didn't Luke's X-Wing have some headlights when he was loading it up in Empire before he left Dagobah? That's a good
point. Yeah, like you can see it. And also, like when it crashes in the swamp, you can see the lights on it, like reflecting off the water. So that's true. But yeah, I really like that shot. It's cool. And then Chirrut says, like, seize the moment or something. Hold on.
Play it.
They were coming.
Take hold of this moment.
Yeah, take hold of this moment. I love you, Donnie Yen.
The force is strong, I think is what he says momentarily later.
But, the force is strong.
Yeah, which is interesting. The force is strong.
The force is like, strong.
With who? Apparently it's just strong. Yeah, exactly. I think he's just saying the force is strong. Like that's what will win the day. And then there's that awesome shot. Like he's just down in one, you know, he's downing a stormtrooper with his staff, but then like Baze just like takes out like 1, 2, 3, 6 of them. Like that dude is kind of a BA himself.
Right. Oh man. I love, you know, you and I both talked about how much we are so excited and love Chirrut already.
Yeah.
But looking at this trailer, I think the interaction between Chirrut and Baze is going to be the R2-3PO of Rogue One.
Yeah. Yeah. I could definitely see that. They could be somewhat the comic relief.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is a cool shot, too, then, of Baze walking towards Chirrut from a clearly downed X-Wing. I wonder if they were in the X-Wing or not. I doubt it. I don't, and this looks to be on Jedha.
Yeah. That X-Wing looks like it's been there for a while, so maybe he was just using it as cover.
Good point. Yeah. So I wonder if they have a connection to Saw then. You know, maybe they work with Saw since they're all on Jedha.
That's possible. Maybe they're part of Saw's partisans. Yeah. I think that's what they called them.
Yeah. And then pretty much it seems like the last probably like 30 seconds of this trailer for the most part is all like these battle shots.
Yeah.
And we do get this really... By the way, do you have any idea when Wave 2 is coming out for the Rogue One action figures? Because we are getting the 6-inch Chirrut with that.
Yeah. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, because it comes out in Wave 2. I saw a picture of it because he has... His staff clearly also turns into like a bowcaster. It kind of looks like Embo's gun.
Yeah.
We see him shooting it in this shot, which I think is cool. But yeah, I can't wait for Wave 2 to come out. I wouldn't be surprised if that comes out right before the movie.
I think it's either December or January.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, he is getting Wave 2, which I'm excited about.
Oh man, I love that thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot more shots of X-Wing action than I thought there would be in this movie.
Which is awesome. But we all in this shot as well, like after we see Chirrut shoot his like bowcaster cane. We have just like these stormtroopers.
I think he's got the cane and a bowcaster. I think it's two different things. Yeah, because if you look in the shot of Chirrut and Baze on that cliff with the ships flying by, I'm trying to pull it up here. Where was that? There it is. So go to 143, 144-ish. He's standing there, and it looks like he's holding his stick in front of him, but he's got something strapped on his back.
Okay. Oh, yep, I see it.
So I think it's two separate things.
Yeah, got it. And I can see that now, like that it's clearly a different type of gun. Yeah, it's not a staff. But this is the first shot we get of the shoreline troops in action. The shoreline, like, stormtroopers.
Yeah, the shore troopers.
The shore troopers, which look really cool.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I have not unlocked in Galaxy of Heroes. Have you?
No. I was... They had that that tournament, and I missed it by, like, I think 15 places. I was like 115 out of the group rather than, you know, and you had to be 100 or higher to get the, to unlock him automatically.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm a long ways from any of that. By the way, if you're not playing Galaxy of Heroes and you have a smartphone, you should get it. It's amazing.
It is. It's the best Star Wars mobile game out there.
I think it's one of the best Star Wars games, period, out there.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Anyway.
Kind of addicted to it, the two of us.
Yeah, yeah, I just opened it. Whoops. Jason. Damn it. All right, I closed it. Anyway, back to the trailer. We then get this shot of, gosh, I don't know the character's name, Jason.
I'm gonna
the guy
look
with
it
the goggles.
Right,
okay, cool. Well, while you're looking it up, I'm going to say this is the first character in the trailer to me that clearly probably won't make it out. He's hiding behind these crates under extreme fire. The look on his face to me sells me on the fact of like he's about to like give up his life to, you know, help at least others escape.
Yeah. Bodhi Rook.
Bodhi Rook. Cool name.
It is. That is a cool name.
Bodhi Rook. I hopefully won't forget that. Bodhi. What's up, Bodhi? Bodhi Rook. BR. Bodhi Rook. Anyway,
that's you making sure you remember it, right?
Yeah, exactly. this is such a cool shot. And, you know, see him, what to me looks like it could be his last hours.
Right.
Oh my God. Ermagedd. Then we get to go to space and we see X-Wings blazing away at what, I don't know if that's a star. To me, I don't think that's a Star Destroyer. I think it looks like a planetary defense thing, like a space station of some kind.
Yeah, or maybe a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a orbital construction platform.
Yeah, because I don't think it's the Death Star. I don't think we'll see them engage the Death Star. I think it's important that that is saved for A New Hope.
I agree.
That's not what it looks like either. But I love that we're going to get X-Wing combat, and there's probably going to be TIE fighters up there too. And, you know, it's funny because the one thing I didn't like in Force Awakens is that we don't get any space combat with the X-Wings. It's all in atmosphere.
Right.
So when I was talking to my friend Greg this morning, I was like, we get X-Wing battles. And he goes, in space. And then I just go, where they belong. I love this. It looks so good. By the way, I don't know if we're supposed to know who this pilot is that we... What?
Sorry.
No,
go ahead. I'm one shot past that pilot guy, but he looks intense. Sorry. Go ahead and talk about the pilot.
All I was going to say is, again, this... You know, it towards the beginning of the movie, it makes it very clear that they're in desperate times now. And now I like these end shots where everything does look kind of desperate. You know, and this pilot, like, he just... Whether he's a character that we're going to know or he's just a random pilot, I mean, he's given his all, which I love. Again, just showing the desperation of the rebels. So anyway, what were you going to say?
The next shot, which has the two X-Wings flying over whatever this space station thing is, up in the background, there are some rebel ships. A small rebel fleet is up there. There's some transport ships, a couple of rebel blockade runners, and the Nebulon B frigate. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I was wondering it because when I paused earlier, I was like, are those Star Destroyers? But they don't look like Star Destroyers. That's so cool. It would make sense. I mean, again, look at Rebels, right? Like when the Ghost gets into trouble or you know, some of the characters get into trouble, we have this small fleet that shows up to get them out last minute. Like the fleet isn't capable of going toe to toe yet.
Right.
But they can help get you out of a sticky spot. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the thing, right? They finally have the plans. They're trying to get the heck out. So the fleet shows up to give them that last bit of coverage so they can get out of there.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm advancing it a little bit more. Dude.
Yeah.
You remember those ships that Leia got the rebels in Rebels?
Vaguely.
There's one of those... In this shot, I'm
what,
just
what
you
shot?
Know,
what? Give me a time signature, sir.
158.
Okay.
The X-Wings are just almost about to fly over the camera, and right up in sort of the center top is one of those ships, and it's inspired from the Knights of the Old Republic game, I believe, is where the design came from. But
oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, man. I am so happy. I am so happy right now.
Well, I think in... I'm trying to remember which shot it was. In one of those shots, the nighttime shots, we see Y-wings flying around, too.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, this looks awesome.
Everything is coming together in this movie. And I could not be happier.
Yeah. Oh, this looks so cool. Well, then as we advance just two seconds forward from this, we get again what looks like Krennic's shuttle. You know, I mean, again, it's got the four wings that fold up. That's, again, to me, it's kind of cool because it's kind of a conglomeration of, like, the Lambda class, you know, shuttles that we saw in Empire and Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe had a little bit of a baby with Kylo Ren's thing, because the wings, the way they fold up. But yeah, and it looks like Krennic's shuttle is shooting at our heroes.
Uh-huh.
You know, Jin's commenting, you know, you are rebels, you know, and which was preceded by her saying, like, if that doesn't work, we'll try again and try again, right? Like, she's...
Take a risk and then the next risk.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she really does seem like a character that's going to inspire confidence in our team, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But then we get this shot, which, again, I'm assuming is Jedha, with a big explosion. My take on this scene is it's probably they're doing some sort of major demolition to get at Kyber crystals.
Okay.
What do you think? Or maybe it's in one of the trailers, don't they mention that, like, it's had a test shot? I don't know.
There's a rumor. Well, they said
successful weapons test. That doesn't mean it's the super laser.
Right.
My first gut guess was like, oh, maybe this is just a demolition scene of them gonna, you know, mine out some kyber crystals.
Or, and this is, you know, a bit brutal to think about, the Empire could be destroying that plateau where the city is have no witnesses.
Ah, that's terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of hope that's not the case because that would be terrible, but that's a possibility.
Yeah. Well, then we get a great shot, Jason, that we got to talk about.
Yes.
Vader coming out of the mist and the steam onto a platform that looks like it's the carbonite chamber. Just different colored lights.
Vader in the mist.
Walking very menacingly towards Krennic.
And he looks... It's a Vader walk, too, so...
Yeah. And it looks like a New Hope Vader, too, which makes sense.
Right.
What do you think that's about? You think he's pissed? He seems to be pissed the way he's walking.
Is Vader ever not pissed?
Good point. You got me there. My guess is...
There's a purpose, though.
Yeah.
There's definitely a purpose.
There's something about this trailer, Jason, that makes me think we won't see Vader necessarily in action. Which, if that's true, like, that's going to bum me out. I'd love to see Vader with his lightsaber at least cut some people down. But this is not Vader's story.
No.
That being said, it is important, like, at the beginning of A New Hope, he does say, you know, I've traced the rebel spies to her. Like, he's clearly hot in pursuit at the beginning of A New Hope and, mm-hmm. you know, in pursuit of this team. So I do hope we see him encounter them in some way, shape, or form. Ideally with his lightsaber out. Like, I think we as Star Wars fans want to see that. You know, we saw it in Rebels for sure, but we want to see that on the big screen.
Right.
The only time we've seen Vader use his lightsaber is to fight Obi-Wan and Luke. That's it. Mm-hmm. It'd be pretty dope to see him, like, taking out even just some soldiers. To me, that walk is maybe Krennic's failed him for the last time. Maybe he's about to choke him out and kill him.
It could be. I mean, we know Krennic can't really ultimately succeed in this movie because of what we get in A New Hope.
Yeah.
So, he's another character that I can, you know, almost instinctively check off the list as not making it out of this movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's immediately followed up by this shot of Galen on the ground.
Yeah.
In the rain. That could just be an early shot of him like refusing to do something. And they knock him down. I don't know. Right. You know, yeah. I don't know. When I first saw that, I my first thought was like, oh, that's Vader. He's going to kill him. But no, it's clear that Vader's walking at Krennic. And then when he's on the ground, it's not Vader there in the foreground. It could be Krennic in the foreground.
It could be.
I don't know who it is.
Or, you know, be Jin rescuing him.
Yeah, I hope so. Oh, Mads Mikkelsen. And I love that Mads Mikkelsen brother Lars is doing the voice of Thrawn on Rebels.
Yes. I think that's really cool. Mikkelsen brothers in Star Wars now.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then, you know, we get this cool shot of the what I'm again assuming is the U-Wing closing up with Jin and Saw Gerrera giving us the title of this episode.
Yes.
You know,
Save the Rebellion.
Save
the Dream.
Saw's going to die, I bet.
I don't see him getting out of this movie.
I also don't see him being a big part in the movie either.
No, I think he'll be a big part, you know, for a section of the movie.
Yep.
But I don't see him leaving Jedha. I don't see him going to Scarif.
Nope.
So, yeah. And I'm assuming he's on Jedha. I don't know if we've got that actually confirmed, but I'm assuming that's where he's at.
Yeah, same here. And
whatever they need to get from Jedha, he's going to be key for that, but I don't see him leaving.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just going to play this real quick because I like the kind of the timbre of his voice while he says those lines.
Save the dream.
Oh, sorry. I went a little too far.
Save the dream. Save the rebellion. Save the dream.
The way he says save the dream, it's almost as if he's crying.
Yeah.
Like, this is like his last ditch effort type of a thing. Like, he's going out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think quite possibly all of the characters in this film, all of the Rebel characters are going to die.
Yeah. It's possible.
But I think the ones without a doubt, I think Krennic will die. And I think Saw Gerrera will die.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is up for grabs. You know, it's easy to say that their characters are still involved in the rebellion come the Battle of Hoth, you know.
Right.
They're not necessarily X-Wing pilots, so yeah, they're not in the Battle of Yavin. Who knows? But then we get this really cool... This U-Wing is so cool. When I went to Rogue Friday, my friend Greg did grab the Black Series Titanium Series U-Wing, and it looked cool. I really wish I'd grabbed it. I did not.
That's my only purchase from Rogue Friday is that Titanium... Black Series U-Wing.
Yeah, it looks so cool.
It does. And that shot of it flying over the, you know, the ocean there on Scarif, the lagoon. That's the word I was looking for earlier, lagoon. with the AT-ACTs firing down on the Rebels. It's almost like the ship's going in for a quick pickup to get them out.
Yeah.
You know?
And then the immediate next and final shot is Baze and Chirrut running through the lagoon with these huge feet behind them.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And wow, I think that's the trailer, Jason.
That's all of the trailer.
2 minutes and 13 seconds, approximately covered in an hour and 10 minutes.
Right. You know, because we're Star Wars fans.
Yeah. Man, this trailer has me so freaking pumped for this story. I can't wait to see what is unpacked.
Right. And everything that this trailer is building up for gets, you know, summed up in Saw's lines there at the end. And I get chills every single time, especially towards the end of this trailer. It's so good. It is so good. And I hope the movie lives up to the trailer because it's such a good trailer.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So. It's this trailer. Each trailer has gotten better. And this one is, I almost think I've enjoyed this trailer more than I did the Force Awakens, the final Force Awakens trailer. I don't know. A different level of hype for Force Awakens than there is for this, just because Again, it was the first of the new movies. But oh man, I mean I've easily watched that thing 15 to 20 times today.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah, I like you said, I think if this movie even, you know, if it measures up to what the trailers are presenting to us, this movie is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, side note too, love that Michael Giacchino is doing the music. Because for starters, I'm a huge fan of Michael Giacchino. He was kind of the person, you know, when we still weren't sure if John Williams was going to do the sequel trilogy.
Right.
He was my number one pick of who would do it if it wasn't John Williams. And the only, I mean, the only things I know, the only music of his I know is from Up and the Star Trek films. Up is amazing, and so is Star Trek. Like, I love the music in Star Trek. It moved me so much. So I think him doing this music, I just think it's going to be awesome.
The one thing I will say is he's already been involved in Star Wars in a small way. There was original music scored for the new Star Tours ride, and Michael Giacchino did that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I heard that somewhere a while ago, and I don't think it's common knowledge, but that is something that he has done. So there's whatever original music was scored for the new Star Tours, he did. So, you know, he knows his stuff, and I'm super thrilled that he's going to be doing Rogue One.
Yeah, me too.
Not that I think, you know, Alexandre Desplat, or however you would pronounce his name, wouldn't have done a good job, but Michael Giacchino is just an all-around awesome composer. So
Yeah, and sadly that that music's not coming out till the day of the movie.
Well,
same thing they did with Force Awakens.
So that morning, no, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, man. We'll see what happens.
Thank God for Spotify, because all my music, I just get through Spotify now. And it's always there as soon as, you know, when it drops in stores, Spotify has it. So, and it's at the comfort of my mobile device. yeah, man, I am pumped for this movie. So we were going to potentially get to a couple more of the Larian questions we had left over from our 200th episode. We've gone a long time, Jason. I don't think we're going to have time to get to those on this episode, but that's fine. We can hold them off for the next episode next week.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about you. I do know about you. We are both equally pumped for this freaking movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I just can't wait to see it at the end of the day. Like, I just can't wait to see it. And learn more about these characters and more about the plot and everything under the sun. I can't wait.
I know. I don't have any more words. I love this trailer. I want this movie to come out now. And I never knew how much I wanted to find out this story until I started watching the trailers for this movie.
Yeah. I can second that.
Ugh. And now these characters have me hooked. The story has me hooked. And December 16th cannot get here fast enough.
Nope, it really can't.
All right.
Well, I think it's a high time to wrap this one up.
Yeah. I think so. We just have to give one more little poll for you guys here to wrap up this episode.
Oh, actually, real quick, Jason, before we get to the poll, I did want to mention something quick. So if you listened on our last episode 200, where we were very excited about our 200th episode and our 5-year anniversary, we were talking a little bit about making Wampuzzler t-shirts available to listeners for purchase. I've done some of the looking into how that would all work, and costs and everything. Still something we are definitely willing and wanting to do. It's going to be a little bit more expensive than I thought. We're going to most likely have to charge about $25 a shirt. And the reason for that is unless we want to get like really, really crappy made t-shirts, like really, really like, you know, just basically undershirt thin t-shirt quality and like low printing quality. Yeah, we could probably get away with like getting a, you know, $15 t-shirt made for you, but we also don't want it to come apart in the wash the first time you wash it. So to even just do kind of a middle of the road t-shirt printing, it's going to cost about $20 a shirt in and of itself. And then for me to ship things out, it's probably going to be about $5 in shipping. So just the flat rate, we would say, is probably going to be about $25. So what I'm going to do on our social media this week, both on Facebook and we'll have a link to it in our Twitter, is we're essentially going to let you guys vote on which basically Wampuzler piece of Joe Hogan art you would want on your Wampuzler t-shirt. So there's going to be two options to choose from, our most recent piece and our first piece. So, yes. You know, the one of us hanging upside down in the Wampa's lair to the new one of the Wampa standing behind us while we're ready to do combat. We're going to let you guys vote on it. Whichever one wins, that'll be the t-shirts we'll have made. And like I said, I will then send out a Google form for anybody that wants one. You fill it in, and when we get to 20 people that want them, we will go ahead and send that out and, collect your money then, and then, you know, start the process. But again, there will be no money involved whatsoever until I actually make a shipment. So that's probably a little bit down the road now. I don't know that we'll have 20 people that want a shirt. I hope so. I would love that. But I want to be clear that the cost is in no way about us trying to solicit profit for ourselves. If there is a profit, it'd probably be like a dollar a shirt. Again, just to make sure that we get a good t-shirt quality made as well as cover shipping costs, we're gonna charge $25 per shirt. But before we get to any of the economics of it, we're gonna first at least let you guys vote on which image you would prefer on the shirt, and then the Google form will be posted in the social media for you guys to fill out. If you don't use Facebook or Twitter, you're not into the social media scene, feel free to just email us, wampuzlerpodcast@gmail.com, and tell us you're interested. Tell us which image you'd prefer. We'll keep that tallied for you and keep you in the loop.
Yes.
I'm done.
All right. So exciting stuff. Just a little bit longer to get to it than we had first hoped. So
right. I'm not rich enough to cover any lost cost. That's basically the thing. So just making sure that, you know, for those that want it, we can get them to you, but making sure that I don't end up having to pay for all of them. I'm just a lowly college chaplain. I don't make a lot of money. So, anyway, before we wrap this up, though, Jason, we do have an exciting poll for you guys.
Yes. And of course, since the trailer just hit and we're all on this Rogue One hype and everything, we want to know, who are you most excited to see in Rogue One? You can probably guess what Carl's and my votes will be for, but we want to know who you are looking forward to seeing. So be sure to let us know on our social media when that poll gets posted. And Carl, where can they do that?
Over on Facebook, facebook.com/Wampuzlair podcast. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Wampuzlair. Or like I said, shoot us an email at wampuzlairpodcast@gmail.com.
Those are all places to look out for the t-shirt information as well. Anything else, Carl?
I can't wait for Rogue One. That's all I got, man.
Me neither. All right. Well, this has been episode number 201 of the Wampa's Lair podcast. Rogue One, Save the Dream. For Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.